Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. And on today's show, I am not alone. I am definitely not alone. I have brought what I consider a heavy hitter onto the show. Yeah, you heard me correctly. If we were playing baseball, I'm bringing in the guy that I think would be able to hit the ball no matter what ball is pitched to him. He can not only hit that ball, he'll hit it with so much ferocity, that ball's going to sail not over left field, not over right field, but right over center field. You know, the one that's usually the farthest away? And he's going to send that ball over center field. It's going to drop on the other side of the wall. Everybody that's on base is going to score, and all of a sudden, we're going to win the game. Yeah, that's kind of the way I feel today. Because if you recall yesterday's show, I spent a whole bunch of time telling you about this guy I knew by the name of Jason. Remember that? Remember I told you that this guy like grew up in Southern California and then he found himself in Texas? Remember that? Okay, and then I remember the part that I told you about where he bought a house like in, I don't know, it was like 1991, and he didn't do anything for 13 years. But he held that house for 13 years. And of course, because that house was in a beautiful place called Aliso Viejo, California. I still love the way that sounds. That property was the beneficiary of California appreciation. And that property went up in value. As a matter of fact, it went up in value tremendously over 13 years. And I believe that I know that it's that particular property that caused my guest today to get the bug. Yeah, he got the real estate bug. Now, my guest today is Jason. Now, Jason is a phenomenal multifamily investor. That's primarily what he does. But if you recall the show yesterday, I spent most of the time talking about his single family experience. So why would somebody that bought a house in California and owned it for 13 years and didn't do anything with it, and then all of a sudden decided to flip the house, also in California, and, you know, he did that all right, and then this guy found himself in Texas. What caused this guy to get into the multifamily space? Why would he walk away from an inventory? I think he had like 23 single-family properties at one time. Oh, and by the way, that's not 23 doors. That's 23 properties. See, some of those properties had one door. Some of those properties had two doors. Some of those properties had four doors. So he actually had a lot of doors providing him income streams. So I know I've opened up your mind, and I know I've created a bunch of questions in your mind. So why don't we do this? Let's bring Jason onto the show because I want you to get to know this guy. I want you to understand what's going on in his mind. Because Jason, like all of the other Lifestyles Unlimited members that I know, they're willing to share information. They're willing to tell you how they got to where they're at. And more importantly, they'll tell you about what their game plan is to get to where they're trying to get to. So with no further ado, let's bring Jason onto the show. Hey, Jason, how you doing today?
Oh, how's it going, buddy? You have me smiling now, and I wouldn't give you that much credit. I'm not that good in baseball.
Oh, you're not? Well, should I have used a football analogy? Would that have been better?
No, I was horrible at sports, but at least good at real estate.
Okay, good at real estate. All right, well then, all right, I'll have to work on my analogies then. That'll give me something to do over the weekend when I'm, you know, relaxing as a retired guy. You know, here's the thing that's making me crazy in my brain. You bought that house in Southern California. That's where Aliso Viejo is located, right? It's in Southern California?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure I got my Viejos correct because there's some in Southern California, some in Northern. They're all over California. But you bought that house in 1991. Why did you buy that house? What was the point?
Yeah, good question. So that was really the start of it. So I, you know, typical middle-class family, had awesome parents. parents got divorced. You know, I went to high school. They told me to go to college, which I did, and, you know, get the typical degree in management information systems. And unfortunately, my dad passed away when I was 18. So he left me and my sister some money. And I was young. And I asked my mom, you know, what should I do with it? And she said, you know, don't be dumb. Don't spend any of it. You know, invest it. I said, well, what do I do? You know, and she said, well, you should buy, you know, your first home. It was actually a townhome. So those funds from my father, that was actually that first condo or townhome in a Lisa Viejo. So I was really young. It was really scary. You know, it was a huge purchase back then. So I, you know, reluctantly bought a townhome and, you know, kept it for quite a while. So that's how I got into it. I had a buddy, you know, that moved in with me. We were in college together, and, you know, I signed a lease with him. He was paying me some rent, and it worked out good.
So you held that property for 13 years. Now you obviously lived in it for a while, or did you not live in it at all?
Yeah. I lived in it for about 8 years. And then once I moved to Texas, we may get into that, I kept it as a rental. So just held on to it. And, you know, it was cash flowing like crazy. It was a little cash cow. So just, you know, put some renters in there and basically forgot about it for a while.
Okay. Like fire and forget, you know, just go on cruise control and stay focused on your job. And, you know, as long as you don't get a phone call saying, hey, Jason, we burned your house down. Everything's okay, right?
That's it.
Well, tell me about this property in Rancho Cucamonga. I love that town's name. It's where my kids were born, by the way. Why did you go after a property in Rancho Cucamonga? What was the deal there?
Ah, small world. I didn't know that. So I had a buddy that was a realtor, one of my really good friends. And I don't know if you remember. I'm sure you do, all those house flipping shows back in the day. I was addicted to those things. And, you know, I was in corporate America. I got a management information systems degree. I was doing global IT program management. And I was looking at my boss, you know, and I was, you know, dodging rounds of layoffs. And I was looking at my boss's boss and said, this isn't the way. You know, I can't continue. This is not what I want out of life. There's got to be more.
Hey, Jason, I'll tell you what, man, they're playing the background music and I'm not paying attention to the clock. So if you'll hold that thought, we'll go to break. And when we come back, we're going to find out why he was invested in Rancho Cucamonga.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000. Each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right, if you're just joining me, I have asked Jason to join me on today's show. Now, Jason is a phenomenal real estate investor. Now, he'll be humble and he'll say he's okay at it. I mean, that's just kind of the guy Jason is. Jason, that's kind of the guy you are, right? You're a humble kind of guy. I mean, you're not interested in the accolades. You're just really interested in getting the results you're looking for.
That's it. Yeah, I don't like bragging. You know me.
Yeah, I actually do know you. That's why I like to brag about you. And that's why I literally did a show about you yesterday. Because, man, when I took a look at your, okay, we'll call it a brag sheet, because that's exactly what I call these things. This is a list that I'm looking at of everything that Jason has done with a real estate focus. since 1991. And like I mentioned to you, he bought that one property, owned it for 13 years, and then he bought that second property in Rancho Cucamonga. And that's kind of where we got to when we went to break. So you were watching all these shows on HGTV, the same stuff my wife and I were watching back in the day. And you know, you and I, we kind of got the same idea, right? You know, it's got to be easy to make money doing this flipping stuff, right? I mean, is that kind of what you thought?
You got it. Hey, if it's on TV, it's real, right? So
it's totally real. I mean, and they're showing us how easy it is to make money, right?
That's it. So that's what I was going to do. You know, I had some money saved up, and I couldn't afford anything in Orange County. It was just way too expensive. And had a buddy that's a realtor, said, "Hey, man, can you find me a property? It needs a lot of work. I want to, you know, do a flip." So he found one. It was in Rancho Cucamonga, as you say, and did everything wrong. Bought it, you know, probably not the best price. Did all the work myself with friends and family. Probably should have been a 1 month project. Took 3 months, and
wow.
Kind of sold it on the way down. Made a little bit of money. Made $30,000. Had to pay taxes on it, and after that, I was like, you know, I don't want to do that anymore. What's next? So that's kind of when I got into the buy and hold game.
Okay.
The rental.
I actually have a question about the flipping stuff. I realized it was like, you know, almost 20 years ago. But when you did that flip and you made that $30,000 and then you filed your taxes, what was your reaction to your tax liability on that $30,000 gain based on the fact you actually flipped instead of did a buy and hold?
Yeah, I don't remember the amount, but I do remember paying some money at it, so that $30,000, you know, turned into less. And that's when I realized, you know, you had to pay quite a bit of taxes on that type of income, especially if you hold it for under a year.
Yeah, because most people don't know, and maybe you saw it on HGTV. I have never seen it, but they never put that screen up where they say, "This is what Jason made. Here's the $30,000. You know, they stop right there and you think, wow, Jason's got 30,000 bucks. He's going to buy jet skis, right? But they never show the next slide or the next screen, which should be, here's how he pays taxes. Oh, by the way, because he's not a long-term capital gains investor, he has to pay short-term rates. So the capital gains are based on his ordinary tax rate. And I'm guessing you were on a fairly high tax rate, and you were classified as self-employed by the IRS because you didn't hold it for a year and a day, so you got to pay both sides of Social Security and Medicare. How'd that make you feel?
Yeah, you got it. And then the crazy California taxes as well. So,
I forgot about those.
Yeah, add that on top, and you don't end up with that much money.
So you found your way to Texas. How did that happen? How does a Southern California guy that's like into surfing, I'm guessing you're into surfing since you live down in Southern California, how does a guy like you find himself in a place like Texas?
good question. So yeah, I was, I know I didn't want to do another flip. So I said, hey, you know, buy and hold's the next thing. And started looking in California, running some numbers. I said, man, everything's cash flow negative. I just can't get anything to work. So hey, let's start looking outside the state. And had another buddy, he was actually in title, and he's got access to all the good reports. And I said, hey, what's a good market out there, you know, other than this state? And he said, hey, check out Texas. Florida's good. Carolinas, Georgia. So I just did a quick Google search, Texas rental properties, and came across a fourplex in Austin, Texas. Ran the numbers. Numbers look good. I dodged a couple rounds of layoffs in corporate America, so I was eager to get going. It was real scary, you know, buying that first one, but bought it sight unseen in Austin, Texas, and had a rental property, a buy and hold fourplex, back in 2005.
Where were you living at the time?
So I was still in California at that time. So I would fly out. You know, I had third party management, and I went through three of them. They're, you know, all real bad. You know, I was getting charged for stuff that wasn't fixed. And I was like, hey, man, this is not rocket science. You know, I want good rates, good communication, and good service. So I'd fly out, you know, and eventually every time I come out, I just fell in love with Texas, fell in love with the economy, the people, the food. And my grandma was actually born in Texas, and she went out to California. So I'm like the first one, you know, full circus back to the, I like to call it the motherland. I'm a Texas down at heart. So, So eventually, a couple years later, I decided to tell my boss I was quitting. Luckily, they said, hey, let's work something out. And they allowed me to work from work remote. So I moved out to Texas. So I had a buddy that moved out here with me. And same thing, you know, had him sign a lease and bought a house on the lake. It was the same price as the condo. And never looked back from there. Worked from home, remote work for about 10 years still while I was doing real estate on the side for the, you know, the corporate America still.
So what year was it that you left California and came out to Texas?
So I moved out in 2007 is when I moved to Austin.
Oh, okay. So at that point, now what I want to do is bring in the historical perspective, because what a lot of people don't remember, but I know you and I absolutely remember, was real estate was doing great all the way from like 2005 through 2007. It starts showing some instability because all of the subprime lending that was going on out there. So you made the move from Southern California to Texas in 2007, just before the real estate market got to that high in January of 2008, and things didn't go so well. So the reason I bring that up, Jason, is I want people to understand what your mindset was at that time, because at that point, I mean, you've got several properties in your inventory, and you're obviously doing very well because you're considering, well, leaving corporate America. So how did 2007 coming to Texas transition for you when 2008 unveiled its ugly head?
Yeah, it actually did not affect me at all. So I'm a hardcore cash flow investor. I look at the numbers. What's that cash flow number? You know, what's the cash on cash return? I don't buy on speculation. I don't buy on potential, you know, equity appreciation. So I think the values did come down, you know, but I wasn't looking at that. I was just looking at the cash flow, and the cash flow did not increase because, you know, people still needed a place to live.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And like Del Walmsley tells every one of us who are members of Lifestyles Unlimited, the number one rule, if you're buying real estate, is it must cash flow. When we come back, we're going to get into the meat and potatoes of why you're listening to today's show. Stick around.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. All right, Jason. So here's where I want to go in this segment. We got to 2008. We got to the real estate meltdown. And one of the things that you learned was that as long as your properties were positioned correctly, as long as they were providing income streams for you, they were providing that cash flow, you were satisfied. You were not focused on the equity growth or equity reduction because it was the cash flow. Why was the cash flow so darn important to you?
I was a Robert Kiyosaki guy. You know, I read all his books, so that was a big catalyst during that time. So I kind of learned about cash flow and, you know, how you build, you know, net worth, but what you really need to live on is that cash flow. So that was my focus after that flip of this is what I wanted to focus on. This is next for me.
And you've got one foot out of corporate America. I mean, you're ready to transition away to just being a full-time real estate investor. Did you make it at that time? What happened?
No, I didn't. You know, I was secure. You got those golden handcuffs, right? So I got actually sucked back into corporate America. So
how'd they lure you back? How'd they get you back?
It's basically just allowing me the flexibility to work remote. And then I just got lazy. I think I got lazy, and that's when the market was coming down. So 2008 to 2011, I think I got a little scared, didn't buy anything, and just got back into corporate America, and, you know, escaped a few rounds of layoffs. And I think that was the catalyst. It took me a while, but I didn't start getting back into it until 2012 and saw how well all those previous properties were doing. So I started picking up the pace, buying some more single families in 2012 and 13, 14, 15, and those fourplexes, man, they were little cash cows. So that's all I knew. I just kept buying fourplexes with the cash flow saved up from the previous properties. It was basically like a snowball.
Yeah, I'm guessing, now I'm going to estimate in my little tiny brain, you're probably running about, 30 units about this time, or maybe that's a high number, but I'm guessing you're probably bringing in plenty of money to make your life very comfortable.
Yeah, it was good supplemental income. So everything that I looked at that point was, you know, if I wanted a car, or if I wanted a boat, or if I want a vacation, you know, I'd have a property for that. So I started looking at these properties as, hey, this is the fund for the boat, or hey, this is the, you know, the travel fund. So it was kind of like Monopoly at that point.
So I'm just very curious, and this is one of those questions that it might feel like I'm hitting you in the gut, but here it comes. You ready for it?
Let's hear it.
Why would a successful real estate investor waste his time and treasure joining an organization like Lifestyles Unlimited?
Yeah, good question. I've never had before. I was scared of them. I thought they were hokey. I thought they were scams. But I was, I think, up in 2015 to 50 units. So I had, you know, all single family up to fourplexes, you know, 50 utility bills coming in, you know, mortgage statements, insurance statements. Management was becoming a pain, and I was doing everything myself, swinging the hammer in the beginning before I hired a manager. And I said, I can't continue it. You know, what's next? I need to scale. So I said, hey, the next logical step is apartments, but I knew nothing. You know, you hear about NOI and cap rate. What the heck is that, right? So I'm addicted to three things, you know, in life: real estate, podcast, and iced tea.
Okay.
So I started listening. Yeah.
Worst well, Texas is the right place right? for you then, isn't it?
Not sweet tea, regular tea. I can't
oh,
do that.
Oh, regular tea. Okay. All right. Well, we got that here too.
Yeah. So I started listening, and I came across the Lifestyles Unlimited podcast and just binged, listened to every episode I could. And then I heard about some case studies and went to one and said, oh, these are cool people. You know, it seems real. It seems legit. And everybody's like me, you know, all different types of people, but got common goals. I want to enjoy life and, you know, eventually get out of corporate America. So that's what brought me to Lifestyles.
And what I think is really, really amazing is, and I got your number totally wrong. I said 30 and you correct me and said 50. So that shows you that I don't estimate worth anything. So don't take me for an estimate guy. But here's the part that I think is just absolutely amazing, Jason. You've got 50 units. Most people would have advised you that you're on easy street. You're golden, dude. You don't have to do anything. Yet you find Lifestyles Unlimited, and some of the messaging I'm sure you were hearing through the podcast was, you can do better. And man, I'm looking at your results here. Not only did you accept that challenge, you knocked it out of the park. And as a non-baseball playing guy, as you admitted, you went from like having 50 units under your belt to picking up something like 63 units in the next year. I mean, that's pretty fast, dude. How did you accomplish all of that?
Yeah, so I mean, I fought tooth and nail. I'm a slow learner, really skeptical, and so I went to the 2-day. You know, I met David Fisher. Love that guy. Said, you know, who's this guy up here with a Tupac shirt on? You know, I can't take this guy serious.
I know. You look at him and you just go, this guy can't teach me anything until he starts talking, right?
Yeah. So I, of course, judge, which you never want to do. And then, you know, I fell in love with the people and I knew this was what I wanted. And he was busting my chops. You know, he said, what are you doing, dummy? You know, he's real nice. We're buddies. And said, you got all this equity. You know, why are you paying these things off? I was on the Dave Ramsey plan. I was, you know, one of his disciples, you know, putting everything on 15-year notes and paying it down. He's like, hey, man, that's not the route. You need to go bigger, and you need to get all that debt equity working for you, and you need to calculate your return on net worth. And I said, well, okay, you know, how do I do that? And I fought them, you know, for a good year before I made that jump. And as you can see in 2016, the year after, I basically doubled the portfolio after talking to him and getting on board and following, you know, what he said.
So what was the significant life event that occurred to you after you took down those additional 63 units?
Yeah, so it was basically going through a lot of rounds of layoffs and dodging them. It was seeing corporate America and, you know, clocking it at eight to five and looking at my boss and my boss's boss and the corporate ladder and seeing these 3% a year, you know, salary increases with small bonuses. And I was limited. So I wanted more. And I saw some of these properties, they were, you know, a couple of them were doing what I was doing in a full year. And I wanted more freedom. I wanted control of my life. You know, I had a, you know, daughter and I wanted to spend more time with her. So I think that was the catalyst. I didn't want to trade my time for money anymore.
So you made an informed decision to step away from corporate America.
I was forced. So I got laid off.
Oh, really? And so they helped you?
They helped me. It was very scary. So I, you know, at that time, my W-2 income equaled the passive, but I wanted double that. You know, I wanted to feel safe, but I saw members doing it. I talked to friends that did it. I knew it was possible. So that helped me, you know, alleviate that concern of jumping in at that time to full-time real estate and not going back to corporate America. Scary as all heck, but I think seeing my friends that did it made me realize it was possible.
How long did it take you before you realized that you were going to be okay, that decision that you were forced to make was actually the best decision you've ever made in your life?
Yeah, I think it was that next year. So after I joined and then really started digging in and get connected with the group and seeing what people were accomplishing, I knew it was possible. And at that point, you know, I started getting into some passive deals, which I'm sure you'll talk about, and growing, taking that next step from single family, which is, you know, one to four units is considered single family, to five units and above, and starting to scale at that point.
Well, you actually picked up some of those smaller apartment communities at that time too, didn't you?
Yeah. So I went into a bunch of fourplexes that first year, got a six unit, an eight unit, a 16 unit. So all of that combined equaled, you know, 50 units, which took me 15 years to build up prior to Lifestyles. Cause that's all I knew. I knew, you know, get enough cash flow, buy a fourplex.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, you start learning about apartments, and you go, what? I can do that, too? And I'll tell you, it makes you open your eyes and go, this is going to be awesome. I'll tell you what, Jason, we're going to break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you some level five questions. You cool with that?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. You know, I probably need to tell you that Jason has 4,348 doors under his belt. That means he has provided clean, functional workforce housing four. Now get this, 4,348 family units. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people that can look to Jason and say, hey, thanks, dude, because you provided me a great place to live. And this is the place that I call home. And I love home. That's my place. So thank you, Jason, for doing that for me. How's that make you feel, knowing that you've got literally almost 5,000 family units out there that rely on you, Jason, for their housing needs?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, I want to provide, as we're taught, you know, clean, functional housing at the, you know, the best product, best price. And it's like I heard John Boryak on the radio the other day, and he's super young. Look up to him. And I mean, it's all about the people. You want to treat people right, your team and the residents. It's all about the people and the incomes, you know, secondary.
I want to ask you some of these finesse questions, because you're a guy that bought just a lot of single-family, multi-unit single-family properties, you know, the duplexes, fourplexes, those types of things. They're not pure multifamily. They pretend to be, but they're not. So when you got into like the sixplex and the eightplex and the 16-plex, and you actually were dealing with pure multifamily, what did you find was the major difference between the two, from maybe from a managerial perspective and from a financial perspective?
Yeah, great question, Al. So what happened once I got up to that level, I realized what we're taught in class is there's something, you know, else we need to learn is the NOI and cap rate. And that comes into play. So instead of relying on market appreciation, which is great, I don't place a lot of weight on it. You know, you look back a few years later, you know, my net worth increased on the smaller stuff. Once you get above five units, you can force that appreciation based on the net operating income. And that's why I joined. You know, I had no clue what that was, how that worked, what are cap rates. But that's the main difference. And then from the management perspective, it's just easier to manage because you got, you know, more people under one. You're not running all across the property, you know, to all your small stuff to manage them. So ease of management and that forcing of that appreciation are two big things that I learned, and it was real different from moving to single family to the multi-side.
Okay, so at this stage of your investing career, you've got a lot of single family in your portfolio, you're starting to add some small multifamily to your portfolio, and you've made a decision to invest passively. Now, why would you invest passively with other people if you're clearly the guy that knows how to do this?
Yeah. So once again, I got to give David Fisher props. So he's always pushing people, always making you think outside the box, always helping you grow. And I got stuck. I got complacent. And he said, you know, what are you doing? You know, you need to be a lead. You got all these properties. You know, you need a lead deal. Like, you know, I don't want to do that. You know, it's other people's money. And I take that very, very serious, you know, way more serious than my own money. I just didn't want that stress. But I knew he was right, you know, and to do that, I wanted to learn it. So I joined up with another passive and, you know, invested in his deal to see how it works, see how the reporting works, tour the property, see how they manage it, and kind of learn before I took that next step of becoming a lead.
When you made that decision to actually syndicate deals yourself, and you obviously were wrestling with the fact that, hey, man, you know, other people are going to give me a lot of their hard-earned money, and this could be their life savings, and you figured out that you could be an excellent steward of that money, were there any other hurdles that you had to overcome besides that one?
That was the main one. Yeah, just knowing I'm dealing with other people's money at that point and how serious, you know, I need to take that. And that is other people's retirement, you know, that. And I got out of the stock market. Another thing I was taught, you know, people are doing the same thing, and it's, you know, it's their future. So that was, you know, the main thing, and that was real scary for me. But, you know, once I did it, you know, it was a great experience, and we had the support, Teresa Harrell, operations consultant, and any questions I had, you know, we got them answered. I had other friends doing it, you know, and anybody, you know, I had anybody on my phone that I can call with any question that I had to help me out, whether it was friends in the group or actual consultants. So that made it a lot more palatable that you know, we're going to be successful in anything that we do here.
So, you know, I'm looking at your roll up of your portfolio, and you've got five deals that you're a sponsor on, and you're helping other people like me retire. Now, I'm not invested in your deals. Let's be very clear here, but there are people like me that are invested in your deals. You've got another 100 units that you own completely by yourself. And then you've got another 24 deals that you're fully invested in. Are you done, or can you do more? Where's your head at, Jason? Where are you going from here?
So this is a little old. I'm in 30 passive deals now, about 5,000 units. So that's a good question. So I'm 45. You know, the seasons of life. You can see I've gone pretty heavy passive lately, along with the leading of deals and syndicating. That's a lot of work. You know, that's a job. It pays well, but you know, I take it serious and it's work. I think as I get older in the next, you know, 5 years, I want to be like, you know, John Pry, who's another member, you know, eventually just have all passive deals, you know, and just rely on that passive income. I may get bored. I get, you know, bored easy. You can see I'm all over the place. I don't know if that's ADHD with real estate or what, but I wanted to do it all and see what I liked. And at this time, I'm liking the passive side. Although we're very successful with the syndication side, I think that's what the future holds.
I think what you just told me, at least this is what I heard, and correct me if I'm wrong, I love my time. I love my time, and I love to spend it how I choose to spend it. Isn't that what you just told me, Jason?
That's it. Spending time with family and friends and, you know, buying back my life and not being chained to a desk and that freedom. It's not like y'all say about the money. It's the lifestyle. Life's too darn short, right?
Yeah, it is definitely too darn short. And I can only imagine that your family life is so much superior now that you're fully back in control of your own life.
Yeah, it is. Just the flexibility and the freedom to pick up my daughter, you know, every day from school and to take off anytime I need. You know, I still manage my company and the real estate side, my management business. We got good systems, great staff, great people. But it's just that freedom, absolutely. You know, it's my goal is to hit the seven wonders of the world, and I have five. And before COVID hit, you know, I was on schedule to hit Egypt and Petra. So looking forward to getting back into that and just that flexibility with the time. That's it.
I think it's fair to say that you're probably making a little tiny, teeny weeny bit more money than you did when you were in corporate America. Is that safe to say?
Yeah, you know, every property is a pay raise. You don't got to wait that year for that 3%, 5% pay raise and maybe a bonus, maybe not a bonus. You create it yourself.
Give me an estimation with regards to the number of hours you used to spend when you were working in corporate America versus the number of hours you physically spend now operating all of your businesses.
Yeah, and I don't want to, you know, oversell it. Initially, I was working basically two full-time jobs, corporate America and the real estate, for a good few years, you know, so I can do this. So I was burning the midnight oil for many, many years. Once I had all the small stuff, it was still a lot of work, you know, 50, 60 hours a week. Once I got the systems in place and the passive investments and the bigger stuff, it's, you know, half the time and you know, the income's far greater and the net worth. I know I really don't invest for net worth or equity, but you look at that and it's just amazing once you get so many properties of how quickly your net worth increases.
Yeah, you might be worth a couple dollars more today than you were back in the corporate America days. I'm just guessing though. Hey, you know, you and I are going to go to an event called Case Study. So, you know, I'm actually looking forward to seeing you at the Case Study event. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing a bunch of our friends from the greater Austin area. So here's the question I've got for you. Are you generally in the greater Austin area, or do you spend your time in the greater San Antonio area? Where do you like to hang out?
Yeah, I live on Lake Travis in Austin. Okay. So I'm here. We got our boat down on the lake. So I'm here all the time. Most of my properties are in San Antonio. It's an amazing market. I've been selling a lot of my Austin stuff, buying out there. So I'm in Austin, you know, at least 1-2 days a week, manage my staff, visit all the properties, And but mainly, you know, in Austin. And I can't wait. I can't wait to see my people down there at the case study. It's been, 2 years.
Yeah, so it's my been backyard. Like forever.
Yeah. So it's going to be good. I'm going to go to the owner's meeting. And then I thank one of the other members, David Chippy, who's a friend. He's going to be presenting. So, man, I'm looking forward to it, seeing everybody.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Jason, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you have helped somebody understand that they can make a difference in their life. And if you want to change your life, go to LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshops.com.
For listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.